start just yet. I want to make sure it's running smoothly.
Well, hello, folks. Standard 5.56 NATO cartridges started about 37 cents a round, and they go to upward to more than $1, especially now in these crazy times. That's right. FMJ onward. You want a kill? You want something that goes through a tree? You're spending money, and right now that shortage means it's going to be a lot harder for everyone to have ammo. At this point, you would start hearing a very high-pitched, but sort of metallic-sounding groan of a guitar. Where does this come from? No one knows. Hello, everyone. My name's Michelle Perez. This is Working On It. As always, I'm joined by my buddy Jake, my buddy Ruben, and we have the absence of buddy Eliza on this episode. Eliza is suffering from gamer-induced wounds and a bad case of gamer's knee. So it's just us three. We are sitting around. I am distantly in Baltimore right now, cutting our first remote, I guess they'd call it. Is that what they call distance recording, remotes?
Not to be a pedant, but all of ours are... Our
that's true.
Reports.
We're not in person. We do have like fixed places, though.
Yeah,
we do, in fact,
out of the homestead.
It's
Colin
true. Michelle's on vacation,
remote.
And she is. And I will just say that she is absolutely kind enough to be recording with us today.
Oh shucks. Oh yeah, I'm so.
We appreciate you making the time, Michelle.
Oh yeah, that's right. The fucking the showrunner, air quotes. I hope y'all had a good time with Lyric, because the fun stops now.
Oh.
Fun stops now.
No.
It's time to fucking lay down the law.
Back to minimum wage.
You thought you could just talk about bones?
No working weekends.
Talk about roofs full of bones?
Yeah. Man, it's
still real
back
time.
For one episode in podcast time.
Shout out to the wonderful guest Lyric, of course, again.
Yes.
We got
also, you've been in the episode with Sarah Horrocks, which as of this recording drops in several days, but as of this listening will have been 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, yeah, no. Since our last record, folks, a great deal of things have changed. Pretty wild with it. American military base in Afghanistan is no more.
Yep.
I never thought I'd see that in my lifetime, and we know it's definitively abandoned in as much as we've basically handed over several decades worth of high-end American machinery, which I'm going to put some air quotes around high-end, like the Black Hawk helicopters, for example, have been in use for 40 the fuck years. Even if this does technically make Taliban the fourth largest holder of helicopters in the world, it's just like
potentially Humvees too.
Like, you know the battlefield moves where you can just shoot a helicopter down with a rifle?
Mm-hmm.
That's the fucking Black Hawk.
Well, the thing I've always wondered about is like, okay, we've seized this military property. How many people in our forces have training, and what's the over-under on us fucking up at least one or two of these helicopters as we figure out how to actually use them?
Sure, the manuals are there, or they're on YouTube. Someone's already done a breakdown on how to fly a Black Hawk on YouTube.
What's up, YouTube? Today we're going to learn how to fly a Black Hawk chopper.
All right, now you point the nose downward at this point when you want to jump out of the helicopter, move your body in a downward sort of canoe-type position so you can go as fast as possible, fire your rocket launcher at the plane, and then land again in a helicopter. Like, they show you this.
For reference, we got How to Fly a Black Hawk in YouTube. The top four results, showing a flight simulator, the startup and takeoff, crew chief's point of view.
I forgot about flight simulators.
Cockpit
videos. You know what?
And that's
say
like
no more.
That's a military 100% simulator.
100% the Taliban already knows how to fly a Black
Hawk. And how to pre-flight a Black Hawk. Just in case you find one, maybe you want to take a little vacation.
Oh, yeah, no, now they are doing the fucking battlefield moves, without question.
Right.
They're flying with mouse, folks. They're flying with mouse in the Taliban. They don't even need the stick. They just fly mouse.
They just simply install their keyboard mouse into the Black Hawk controls.
USB. It's just an Xbox 360 controller on USB.
No. The Xbox 360 does not give you the precision of the mouse.
I absolutely wouldn't be surprised. There's 100% certainty that someone's job at DARPA was to figure out how to pilot a tank with an Xbox controller efficiently.
Yeah, it's cool.
Easily.
It's great that the best physical sensation you can feel in life is some sort of high-end drugs or sexual intercourse. That is, until the invention of Fortnite. Folks, as me and my illustrious co-hosts have kind of gotten across in previous episodes, we're fans of the BR genre of first and third person shooters. That's why everyone's so horned up for war right now. No one's really a war weeb within our group, except maybe two distinct people I can think of that are war weebs. Hey, one of them's a Maoist.
Right. Anyway. Okay, Michelle. Okay, and?
Anyway, yeah, no. We're not doing doxing right now. Just as an aside, we play a lot of different video games.
That's right.
See, this episode idea is not mine, distinctly. This is a Jake.
Here we go.
Jake
Asking
Rubin.
The buck.
Folks.
Machination.
There comes a time in every television show's arc when content simply must be produced. Things simply must be discussed.
No.
In the absence of a booked guest and in the absence of different subjects, today we decided to talk about Fortnite. And the key about that is that talking about Fortnite means we can talk about a bunch of different shit.
That is... Oh, man. I have so many thoughts. So many thoughts.
Go on.
Rushing past my head.
Exactly.
One way to undersell something. Hey, fuck you. Your time, you know what? You showed up. We kind of did. Fortnite, do you give a fuck about it?
Listen.
Well, we can't. So you don't have to, folks.
In case you're wondering why a podcast about DIY work and interviewing artists is suddenly doing an episode about Fortnite, that's Jake's Corner.
That's Jake's Corner. No, they... I'd honestly start by just saying, personally, why I agreed to do this episode about Fortnite was, for some reason, I think in the COVID era, I've kind of wanted to not necessarily draw away from our usual slew of guests and subject matter, but... In terms of this particular curiosity, it was a curiosity that came up quite a bit whenever we talk about anything, so I think it was time to just set aside some time and talk about it. That was why I agreed, Jake. God damn it. You son of a bitch. This is my Aaron Sorkin voice.
And for me to put it
in the
room.
I know it's very important to you, Michelle.
I also just put it out there because just some people may not know at all and want to keep arm's length completely. So it might be nice to have a primer into it so you could understand to some extent and also just never interact directly with it. Needing to talk with standing on a microphone. But for the uninitiated, the BR genre, as we didn't explain earlier, is the Battle Royale genre. It's a specific type of game that involves a large group of people, usually 100's the number, perishing on an island and killing each other down to the last one. This is, for those who might know, inspired from the novel the same name, Battle Royale, published April 1999 by Kushin Takami.
There's a film associated with it with Takeshi Kitano.
But Ruben.
The next film. Yes, Jake.
How were these games actualized how did Battle Royale games come to be? Fortnite was most certainly not the first one, was it?
So Fortnite wasn't necessarily the first Battle Royale game in the genre, but certainly is the most affiliated with the genre, or more or less is known for spawning it in popular culture.
Hey, just a moment, Ruben. Jake, that was your very curious voice. You seem very curious about this subject.
Jake wants to know.
I couldn't disagree with that at all, Michelle. I am absolutely curious.
You needed to know, actually.
I need to know.
He needs to know, folks. Go on. I'm sorry, Ruben.
So, although Fortnite wasn't the original Battle Royale game, it was actually a sandbox third-person shooter in the vein of, to use broader terms, a tower defense Minecraft game. You shoot guns.
Right. That's Michelle vaping. Just
when they released that, July of 2017, another game, more popular than H1Z1, called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's not called PlayerUnknown's Battle Royale. was coming out, but was technically also not the first game to come out in the Battle Royale genre.
DayZ, as an early example, is not too far removed.
So there's a
from
couple
its
things.
Inception.
Yeah, not Battle Royale game.
I wanted to touch on. There's some stuff
it's
that
not.
Goes back. There's some stuff that goes back to our mods episode. Is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. Mostly that a lot of this gameplay was actualized at first through modded games. Battle Royale, I think, as a gameplay concept, was mostly started in mods of like Arma games or some Arma likes.
Correct. Effectively. Arma had modding that was like, we can have massive player counts for a military sim game. We can flop that over to be instead just everyone fighting everyone else. And then through the Arma mods, H1Z1, I believe, is by some of the same developers, unconfirmed. And that came out in 2015 and was more or less the first official Battle Royale game. If you look at it, it looks identical to PUBG for many reasons.
It's more blood in it, memory serves. That's key design difference.
Yeah, but at the time.
Superficially, same functions and forms. The only
the
thing that H1Z1 deferred on, or excuse me, deferred from, it kind of differed for a long time until a later incarnation of PUBG, but they used a lot of vehicle combat in H1Z1.
It's funny. Because I was never able to play these games, mostly due to having just a little laptop that wasn't able to run them well. But I will say, like, I think Ruben's point was that visually, those games draw from the exact same kind of like style and color palette and bare bones.
Yeah, they're all more or less identical. Of
brown, green,
kind of
gray.
Brown shitty city with brick and cement buildings
very,
and squares.
Very exactly. Unsexy mill sim aesthetic is sort of the background for these. Or
Eastern Bloc-esque kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
You're walking around, you've got a very ugly looking knockoff graphic tee, and you're wearing JNCOs, and you're putting on knee pads and a helmet that covers all of your face. And
the very novel thing.
You get beat to death with a crowbar.
Right, and the very novel thing about these games at the time, which, you know, I think we now take for granted, even I do, because I play tons of a different Battle Royale game, is that there wasn't a lot of capacity or technical capability for these types of games until that, I think until, like, I don't know exactly what would come together technologically, but certainly high-speed internet, the ability for games to do that kind of level of connectivity for multiplayer and host 100-player servers, and then the ability for it to run stably on X number of devices. We hit a delta somewhere where it went from being something that you could think about but was hard to execute in reality. I distinctly remember reading Battle Royale as a kid and thinking, what a cool idea for a game. Like, as a game designer, like, there's ways you could turn this horrifying scenario of a novel into a fun video game. You know, just like you can turn war into paintball. So the fact that this was like cooking and brewing in people's minds for so long and then gets into this point of once it's finally executable in the public consciousness, it catches on like wildfire. People have a great time playing this concept of a gameplay of Battle Royale. I definitely remember seeing a lot of people posting PUBG wins, like in however, whatever year that was, 2017 or whatever, who I never saw playing shooters consistently before, who were just playing it for the novelty, for the fun of it, for the interesting experience of dropping into a place where everyone else is out to get you and having to survive. I think that speaks to everything I'm talking about here still applies to why Fortnite is super fucking popular.
I agree.
The server architecture, where that first started to form, where you were able to have large scale combat and mass combat, is kind of that little hump of inner city to suburban development where high speed internet was made more available, because people could work from home, people could get entertainment from home, and they could also, you know, play video games. They could download films, download music faster than they had before. And keep in mind, well, yes, you could do large-scale patches on the internet still. Around the time, Battlefield was like one of the first major examples of that. And the only other thing we have as a point of reference was early iterations of high-tier MMOs. You have your Ultimate games, you have your fucking... I'm thinking of Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa for some fucking reason, right? Asheron's Call. All of that stuff. Even Star Wars Galaxies. But yeah, Battlefield 1942 was one of the earliest combative large-scale mods. There would be server mods where someone was jury-rigging it to figure out how to get 100 people into one server.
It is surprising to me that we didn't see, and this is, I'm wondering if you went digging, if you could find like some type of conceptualized battle royale mod for something like one of the early Battlefield games. Like, it's almost surprising to me that didn't happen.
Just making it all deathmatch.
Their main focus,
anything like that.
Their main focus
make it,
was
make it the same rules where it's just, you know, one kill per round or one life per round, all deathmatch, random spawn. Like, I feel like that would have been doable. I'm no genius.
A lot of the early Battlefield mods try to hit on that. But the thing... Well, not hit on that specific philosophy, because no one really had it envisioned. What they were about was asymmetrical stuff and realism mods, as well as, you know, like player side blood or something. And also texture, visual packs, proprietary stuff, and a very healthy total conversion community. One of the earliest Battlefield games that were basically spin-offs, one was like a sort of Sega Rally knockoff, where no combat whatsoever, and you would race around large scale in a massive rally.
Like Wacky Races.
Battlefield physics. Yeah, imagine Wacky Racers, but like, you know,
tanks,
snidely whiplashes, like turning around in the back seat and shooting you with a gun.
Zeros versus fucking Jeeps.
You'll never fucking get me, Kappas. But yeah, beyond that, it was mainly mod side where they tried to increase player accounts. Games that were sort of effectively coming out of that mindset were things like Operation Flashpoint, the early iterations of the Delta Force series, and of course Arma. Arma is kind of the genesis of all of this. Arma,
I guess you're right.
It takes that philosophy out of the... Make no mistake, Battlefield is arcade realism, let's say, is the closest we can use. It uses a quasi-realistic bullet model. Yeah. I don't know if they use hit scan right now in the latest edition. I thought it was projectile-based.
It's projectile-based.
It's projectile-based. I mean, and you could kind of see it, Bad Company onward. The projectile model in Bad Company 2 was what really got me into Battlefield again. It was sniping someone across the map in the Vietnam expansion. And, you know, the fucking Huey flying overhead and Credence is blasting. I mean, and yeah, the Milsims took that to its logical extreme. They would add very, very exhaustive voice command and voice acting and, like, weird computer deep fakery to sort of simulate call and response conversations, not only with AI, but also call signs for you and your fellow players if you're doing, like, some awful Milsim RP shit, which so many people do.
And to speak on your earlier point about how infrastructure was just getting ready for, like, the internet to handle larger player accounts to make this kind of game possible. Mm-hmm. On the consumer end, Massive Action Game, or MAG, came out on the PS3 in 2010, and that was known for having a 100 player account, effectively Battlefield to a thing, to an extent.
Massive Action Game.
And that was kind of the first introduction of, there's enough shit happening. So a lot of this stuff is kind of happening at the same time. It seems like Battle Royale probably wanted to exist as soon as enough internet existed for 100 people to be in the same place at once. Because if that's 2010, Arma 2 came out 2009. And with Arma 2 being ultra-realistic military sim, and you were getting close to those player accounts, and that's what they based the first Battle Royale mods off of before H1Z1 came out. It all kind of just came together when the internet could handle it, and slowly leaked out a few years later.
Right. Yeah, so I guess, like, the main point I'm making is that this stuff was in the air. Like, it's weird that it ended up manifesting itself as this cartoon, a game where Batman shreds Bugs Bunny's head off with a shotgun or whatever. But it's important to know how we got here. Like, there's a lot of fun to be found in Fortnite that is not tied to the brand of Fortnite, but more to the gameplay. And I like dissecting those two things and kind of figuring out which is which. Because we're going to talk about Fortnite for a good chunk of time today.
And so when we were getting to Fortnite's release date in July of 2017, technically it was just a fucking Minecraft shooter before that with wave-based co-ops.
That's,
was the
that's
only
the
mode.
Other thing.
It's like a four-player Diablo shooter or Borderlands.
It was like a build-your-tower defense was the whole point.
It was go to a location, set up defenses, get attacks,
and
keep the thingy up, and then that's where the building mechanic from Fortnite is from, is that it was just a part of its original game that they had planned for 5 years when they kept releasing trailers and teasers for Fortnite.
Yeah,
and then it was fucking Minecraft
that, like,
shoot.
Jeff Keighley would say, "Here's the new game from Epic," and it would be this cartoon zombie shit that looked like, honestly, Plants vs. Zombies, right? Like, aesthetically?
Yeah, pretty close. I'll
like,
agree.
As far as that, they just started adding humans to a Plants vs. Zombies style aesthetic. And they made their own little cartoon world out of it. And it was, there's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, it sounds a little more fun than a Fortnite version of Battle Royale to me, because I don't like building stuff when people are trying to shoot at me. We'll get into later.
I mean, the better of the two games, if you look at design, function, outcomes, and playability, is the Orcs Must Die game. Right?
You mean from PUBG's, from Fortnite's original genre, from other games that
I mean, that's the thing. Orcs Must Die, of the
I don't even
of
know
the
what
two,
that is.
It kind of has a Warcraft aesthetic, I would call it, vaguely. Like, the only other thing that reminds me as much of it other than that would be, not Dungeon Guardians either.
Dungeon Defenders?
The only other thing it visually reminds me of is Torchlight.
Right.
Yes.
It's a soft cartoon
soft
world.
Around cartoon
it's,
people.
It's soft Blizzard, basically.
They could all be holding bows and swords at a moment's notice,
it's
fighting orcs.
The style Blizzard pivoted to with World of Warcraft
Not to
and
get
subsequently
too lost in the
Overwatch.
Just referencing Fortnite's original gameplay, that it's a wave-based tower defense game. Orcs Must Die is a wave-based tower defense game with magic and guns. Nothing to do with Battle Royale, don't get those mixed up.
So Epic is making this wave-based tower defense game at the exact same time that the Battle Royale genre is willing itself into existence through a number of different mods, through different people iterating on gameplay styles, and that ultimately ends up in a guy named PlayerUnknown publishing a game called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to early access.
And that was in March 2017.
Go ahead. Right. Yeah. So it's not a full game yet, quote unquote, in the days of video games these days. Developers can simply put a game up on Steam in development. People can pay to get in early, and that is a legitimate model for games like Escape from Tarkov to this day.
Memory serves. Not to correct you too much, but memory serves, it did release 1.0 recently. Yes?
No, PUBG released 1.0 in 2017.
A while ago.
Yeah, so it's out of early access for a minute. Some of the biggest draws, what made PUBG massive in its inception, and what carries it on to this day, with at least remnants of what had to be an initially massive player base. Streamers and not affiliated YouTubers that don't usually even do video game videos, participating in PUBG, learning the rules with someone who's played it before, being shown how to survive, and then getting absolutely fucking rinsed.
Oh yeah, there was a massive celebrity presence at the outlook of Fortnite's Battle Royale coming out, so aside from PUBG entirely's presence at the same time. To get the timelines lined up, I just wanted this over here, is that Fortnite comes out July 2017. PUBG's early access is March 2017, so that would be predating it by 4 months. Then that would give Fortnite introducing its Battle Royale mode September of the same year. So it was 2 months to them dropping Battle Royale into their game on its release date, 4 months after early access for PUBG comes out. And PUBG on PC was 1.0 December of the same year, 2017. It being on the on Unreal Engine 4, Fortnite is. PUBG is also on the Unreal Engine. And so there was a lawsuit that was brought up. I don't think it went in their favor at all, if I remember right.
Yeah, here's the thing about that lawsuit, just to make note for listeners. PUBG does not own the Unreal Engine, and Epic, the creators of Fortnite, own the proprietary license to the Unreal. That is their product.
So when you make a fucking video game and they take all of your mechanics, knowing that they helped you make those mechanics, and then they spin it into their game 2 months before you release, and then proceed to, not quadruple, to, is there a word for tenfold, to make their player base 10 times the size it was at launch?
I think you said it, yeah.
I didn't want to say tenfold. But yeah, Fortnite opened to a million sales and a lukewarm reception. PUBG came out and was fucking gangbusters out the door. That spread like wildfire to any place the internet, giant bomb, anyone that was looking at games was like, this is fucking nuts. To which Fortnite responded, hey, before your game came out, we made our own version, put it into our game, and turned their player base into 10 million players overnight, soon to roll out multi-million dollar tournaments within the next 2 years.
With every game, there's basically an X factor. What differentiates my game from your game? The guns and their handling were a lot differently initially, as was interacting with the terrain, specifically the buildings, and the options you had against them. But Fortnite's big X factor was basically the ability to build on command, to use mobility, gather enough resources for your mobility to be viable, and fight bordering on fighting game level of techniques when it comes to dissipating and creating barriers to either stop bullets or to provide an opening to nail someone from cover. Doing this in a half a second to a second will determine whether or not you win a certain type of high level match.
Watching two proficient Fortnite players try to shoot one another usually looks like watching two carpenter wizards summoning wood planks from nowhere and building like tubes at one another, like just giant square tubes at one another.
The default state of Fortnite.
In a snake-like fashion.
The default state of Fortnite is unreality. Not an aversion to realism, but instead a specific and fixed view of realism where all things exist at the same time, and also everything could be moved around and jostled around, and that's like the driving philosophy and appeal of it. So you could kind of tailor the fight to your ability to think on the fly. That's the game at its most fun. When you do the Carpenter fights, it's fucking miserable. The only time it's good is in squads.
For anyone that could have, like,
Fortnite is insufferable.
For anyone that probably has a job or maybe minor arthritis, you just cannot compete in a field of 12 and 14-year-olds who have all the time in the world to... how to explain it plainly is that the building mechanic of Fortnite allows you to summon walls and ramps at will. This would stop bullets as soon as they're fired because the walls will exist instantaneously. So when high-level players, just look up any tournament that occurred in the last 5 years, it's more or less just building two buildings that combine, and then because you only own the walls that you built of your building, you can cause holes and windows to appear in the walls at will, so you will shoot through them and then rebuild them back into place. And that is all high-level Fortnite is, managing buildings against another person and then owning more space than the other person so that you can force them into your, you know, wood and construct reality, put them into a crate that you can shoot them in.
Yeah,
it's honestly very... It's very intriguing and fascinating from a...
It looks good.
Gameplay standpoint, but... Yeah, to mechanically do what those people do in game is stressful for me to even think about. Just as far as like what people call actions per minute in games, oftentimes in like a game like StarCraft, where you're clicking all the time, you would say that game has high APM. The APM on an aggressive Fortnite builder is scary to me. And also just the mental stack that they have to construct for themselves as far as when to build, when to peek, when to shoot, how to manage your health and ammo on top of those situations. It is impressive, objectively. It's not very fun, I don't think, but I think the people that engage with it are there for the money, because this is a game that's sponsored by a huge company and has done a pretty good job of... You know, I wish more companies put as much money into their competitive games as Epic does for Fortnite. It seems like it's popping.
So yeah, on a note for that, there was a Fortnite Battle Royale Pro-Am in 2018 at E3. So 50 pros matched with celebrities were teamed up. Just big fun event. But following the year of the Pro-Am is when they just put $30 million on the line for the Fortnite World Cup 2019.
Yeah, that's...
2 years after the induction of the game.
Huge.
Which is huge to making a player base.
One of the top esports spots.
Like, not only were they
all of esports,
eyes of the world on Fortnite and people being like, what the hell is that? Then them dropping Battle Royale and getting massive celebrity endorsements. Fucking NFL endorsements unofficially. Players from the NFL were doing early Fortnite dances as touchdown shit. And, you know, it was just immediately across... It bridged every gap of culture and
I want to take a moment to
dig
into that. Really.
Oh, yes. Oh.
So here's the thing, right? We've talked a little bit about how Battle Royale was fiending to exist, was out there in the zeitgeist waiting to happen. And then it bursts into life. And guess what? We all as humans recognize that it's pretty fun to drop onto an island and try to survive to the very end. At least once or twice. If it's not your bag, you know what? So be it. But the experience is rather unique, especially at the time, and is clearly drawing tons of people. Now, what if I told you that even amongst that tons and tons of people, that was a very small slice of game players, because those game players had A, computers on which they could play PUBG, and B, were likely adults with expendable income, or at the very least teenagers with expendable income, like older teenagers, you know, like people, teenagers who can drive. And obviously there were children playing PUBG, but I'm talking about mainstream levels of access. Now, what's the difference between that and Fortnite? Well, A, it looks like a fucking cartoon. B, Epic releases it for free on every platform. So now, we already know that Battle Royale is a salient and fun genre. All of the sudden, every 12-year-old with a console has access to Battle Royale.
Or a smartphone.
Yeah, or a smartphone now.
Or at that point, a smartphone, right? But I'm setting the stage for how what we already knew was popular fucking quintupled in size as soon as it A, looked like a cartoon, and B, was free to 12-year-olds.
I think one of the design functions of its unreality is that Fortnite engages and pushes back in as much as the ways in which it tries to appeal to the player, however young or old or whatever, because of its sheer size. So it has to be part of the design philosophy. So they would start branding deals and would do light portrayals of licensed characters. Nike had released a character through Fortnite. Film and streaming television series characters would become Fortnite characters. And film releases would have their own subsequent Fortnite characters. Some pretty strange ones. This is added to the mimetic quality of the game. In the first, I guess, chapter of Fortnite, as they're calling them now, chapter 1 onward to X.
Let me stop
first
before we get
four
into the
seasons.
Chapters. We're going to get into chapters. We're going to get into chapters. I just wanted to put in the timeline at this point. So, following the $30 million World Cup in 2019, reported May 2020, Epic confirms 350 million registered user accounts. Although that's not concurrent playing populations, that's still 4% of the world has logged in to play Fortnite or turned the game on at least once. And then, let's see. So what Michelle's about to get to is, in 2019, if anyone saw any of this on the internet, there was the end for Fortnite, and that was Season X, so that was the 2 years of development since it came out. That was them doing small events, doing little things in terms of changing gameplay. I wasn't doing anything with Fortnite. I played it once or twice when it came out, and then was mainly playing PUBG, and ignored it until about 2020, until the middle of 2020, is where Michelle brought me in during Chapter 2. So when Fortnite came back after the end, it is now Chapter 2, Season 1, restarting their season count. And Michelle, you go from there.
Yeah, so basically, the game is much more complicated in Chapter 1 onward, but we see the edges and the direction Fortnite will take. We start getting actual Marvel characters and film characters like John Wick and shit put into the game. Chapter 2 comes out and basically jumps into this all full-throated after the first season. Season 2, Spy Games, Top Secret, is basically a vaguely Archer-esque themed spy season where large-scale buildings are added to the playfield that belong to certain spy agencies that are fighting against one another and have ambient quests and objectives for you to seek out in the world, as well as ways to get XP, to level out battle passes. The battle pass system is changed to basically make it so you're unable to not get everything to a certain point. You at least get one of everything. All bonus stuff will have a specific objective tied to it, and the spy season was about finalizing those choices and you could only get one or the other. You couldn't get everything. That was the only caveat. Then you would unlock fucking Deadpool.
Fuck. I don't want to talk about that. So, as an aside, also before the agency or the spidency part, this is kind of where Michelle got me to play into Fortnite, explaining how the mechanics of the agency and the spy bullshit worked in the game. And I was like, I guess I have to get in, just because I think Michelle's fucking lying to me. Prior to that, this was also when 2 months before that content was Travis Scott, in April of 2020, was Travis Scott's astronomical, where he did like 5 music videos or something in Fortnite, or concerts.
So many milestones to consider with this game. To be clear, I think one of the first times I knew that it was culturally catching on, or that it was bigger than, you know, let's say a game I knew kids were playing, was when Drake made headlines for simply playing the game with a man we've all come to know as Ninja.
Oh, God. Ninja. Not only Ninja, but the world's best Call of Duty console player, Doom.com.
What? Michelle?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to do another take on that. Are you talking about...
Kim.com and Ninja. It was awful. Oh. It was so fucking awkward.
Travis Scott was there too, I believe, before he was a giant monster within Fortnite.
Yes. Imagine the sort of wettest play calling from Kim.com. Very uncomfortable. It's like a humid, it's a humid, damp, like fucking ghost hanging in the room considering this. Anyhow.
So, anyways, you turn on your internet and you see Drake is playing a video game with the blue-haired man, and for some reason that's important, and you kind of have to take notice, even if you don't care that much.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, where streaming was going around that time. Make no mistake, as it's been talked about before here, Twitch is a loss leader. At the time, its growth post-Justin.TV was only in, like, first-person shooters. And this game basically took PUBG numbers and tossed them aside in terms of viewerships, consistent viewerships, the amount of different types of streamers that got involved with it. So many people, like, sometimes they'll just throw an oddball game of Fortnite in, even to this day, just because of how colorful it is and, like, how fucking weird high-level play of Fortnite looks to the untrained eye. Like, it's not often I do anything impressive, but, you know, when you watch streamers, like, that's where you kind of get that if you just play a certain type of way. I don't know. I'm thinking of BR philosophies right now. Reuben loves to be shot caller, but he cedes a little of this territory to me sometimes in Fortnite because I've been there more often than him. Jake.
Yeah, I'm trying to fuck everything up for everyone else. I mainly fall into shot caller, though, off of my personal CSGO career of 1,500 hours playing Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and I was shot caller for our competitive rank team. I think I topped out at Gold Eagle 2, which is pretty high, but we were fucking it up back then, and I was doing all shot calling for pub team, for pickup teams, and we also had a couple other squads, people you don't know, Michelle, but they would be long-term teams that we would play matches with for several years, and I would captain that.
All right, now I'll explain mine, like, real quick. Like, he's shot caller, but super serious, but, like, mainly, yeah, where is that, where is this, Michelle, and I'll be like, oh, it's down here, let me mark it. And then I just sort of explain the layout and basements to run to, etc. Me, I'm a very aloof player, let's say that. I literally simply play it as fun as it feels to play. I'm better at Fortnite, given I'm playing it on a fucking toaster-ass console like the Switch, but the Switch play on Fortnite is super serviceable, and it's fun. I basically enjoy doing that with the TV, and it's been nice. But yeah, other games, not anywhere near as immediate as Fortnite, because Fortnite's also just very airy. You get a very wide field of view in a third-person shooter, and especially helping when you're trying to objectively judge distance, you have your player character as a sort of point of reference or barometer for, you know, what you're trying to hit and judging distance effectively, which is nice. But yeah, like that's me. Jake, we sort of, well, no, I shouldn't we. I don't know. Should you introduce your style of play, Jake? Just say how you play.
How do you Fortnite? How do you get knighted?
I will explain my personal history with Fortnite at this time. Okay.
Hell yes.
I did not own a computer that was capable of playing any Battle Royale video game until 2020, when I completed a build of a gaming computer. So that is just a year and a change ago. In the interim, however, I had a past of playing games with you bozos growing up on a computer that was capable of doing that at the time. And during my college years and after graduating in Seattle, what I did to really scratch the old gaming itch was play competitive Magic the Gathering.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not going to get into this a lot, but I will describe the situation thusly. I started learning to play this game. I enjoyed learning to be better at it. I found that within Seattle, there was a community that could very well be described as a shark tank. And I got my ass kicked for about 2.5 years, solidly. And I learned how to not be bad at Magic the Gathering. And then over the subsequent 2.5 years, I ingratiated myself a little further in the community, started playing a little more high-stakes, high-level games, started getting better, started commentating matches, became a person who was very interested in learning about how to get better at a game while doing it myself. Cut to 2020, there's a pandemic. In the background of that, Wizards of the Coast, the people who make Magic, have been throwing it into the trash. That's just my opinion. So these things converge into me being able to play video games on a computer for the first time in, like, let's say, functionally 8 years or so. And in that time, I've seen the PUBGs. I've seen the PUBGs, and I've wanted to play them. And it's pained me that I have not been able to, right? So, a little bit before all that happens, a game comes out that just looks too good to resist, and it is called Apex Legends.
Oh,
Apex
no.
Legends is a battle royale that is basically taking a lot of the concepts that Fortnite and that PUBG put out and is making it a respawn shooter.
Son of a bitch. This motherfucker. Sorry. I fucking knew it. We weren't going to say anything, but I knew it was coming.
Sorry, it's a very fun video game, and it's a battle royale. We got to talk about it.
Titanfall 3, known as Apex Legends, is also a contender in the battle royale genre.
This game was so compelling to me that I started to play it on console, which is only notable because I previously wouldn't play pretty much any first-person shooter on a console that much. I didn't want to try. I didn't like using a controller. It just seemed like a moot point in my head to even, like, you know, attempt to play a game like that.
Absolutely.
However, Apex looked so cool to me that I was like, I gotta try this shit. And I, boy, did I get hooked. Exactly what I was describing as the salacious and fun battle royale model earlier totally hooked itself into my brain. I started seeing, you know, the potentials for what would happen if the game, if I learned the game better, if I got better at the game. So I started to, And, you know, I've started playing less Magic, etc. Cut to the pandemic. Cut to me having a gaming computer and then getting on Discord back with you all. Every time I am in Discord playing a game, Michelle is on her Switch narrating Fortnite. She's saying, I'll be playing the game, or we'll just be hanging. We'll be talking about something else. And all of a sudden, Michelle chimes in. Just shot Wolverine's head off with a shotgun. Oh, man.
He's gone.
Just beat Will Smith to death with a pickaxe.
Yeah, not to mention the celebrity or comic book character call-outs.
Folks.
Like, oh, shit. Folks, Travis Scott executed me.
Folks, Deadpool is dabbing on me. These are the things that she would chime in with.
No, and not Kratos. Go, oh. Get away from me with the pickaxe.
So I was at that point I became aware, all right, Michelle's playing Fortnite. And Michelle games on the Switch, and you know what? Gosh darn it, Fortnite runs pretty well on the Switch. And I'm sitting there like, listen, you have your fun, girl. But inevitably I do like playing video games with my friends. So the way I play Fortnite is I log in and I get in the game with Michelle and I just try to shoot anything that moves.
He's underselling it. He's a very intense FPS player.
I think it's very fun to take these types of games seriously. You could maybe say I get off on it, but I think
I didn't want to say that.
Fun with it.
It's interesting that you did.
I mean, in as much as a basketball player gets off on making a good shot.
About to bust, folks.
I would also fall into the category of I like to find a game that has some competitive bend to it, and I find the fun in being serious and focused on it instead of being like, hey, we're just fucking piddled for a couple hours in this. Yeah, I can't.
And to be clear, from a casual standpoint, it doesn't mean I log off after losing and I like go look at myself in the mirror and I think about all my life choices.
He punches the mirror. Fucking just, blood runs down his knuckles.
What the fuck is that, Jake? What
that
are you doing
to pretend the stakes are high.
Tomato Town? Are you fucking kidding?
Are you serious? What were you thinking building that wall? No, it's just that, like, you know, when you're in the game, it's fun to really engage with the level of what the game is giving you, which is that you gotta survive, motherfucker. You gotta stay alive. You gotta.
It's hilarious. Sometimes it throws in stupidly difficult curveballs out of nowhere. We've flash forward to the present day. We're now giving shit to Michelle for effectively being a Fortnite whale, which
I've gotten the
battle passes because.
That's the other thing. Every time, I have no problem with you playing Fortnite, but you always buy the new skins.
I don't always buy the new skins, Jake.
To be fair, when I see Michelle,
the battle pass pays into
everything
itself,
from the new battle pass. It has every character skin every time. I log into Fortnite once a fucking month or something. And Michelle's check it out. I'm She-Hulk. I'm fucking Blade. I'm fucking Rick Sanchez and Rick and Morty.
You're definitely in a category.
Rick fucking Morty. No.
You're in a category that that Epic likes. You're in like a list somewhere on an Epic document, Michelle.
So
Michelle's
round
four
is so
enough hours that
Michelle's not throwing $30 away a month on Fortnite. Michelle played just so much disgusting amounts of Fortnite that Michelle has just a huge font of excess money you get from playing literally 100 hours of Fortnite a month every month for the last 5 years.
Well, they don't just give you V-Bucks after a certain point. There is a cap to the V-Bucks.
They cut you off. Give me your 20 fucking dollars.
Yeah, no. They're like, every once in a while, it's like, oh, hey, I have enough for fucking Ryu from Street Fighter. Or, no, Chun-Li.
Oh, yeah, you bought Chun-Li skin. I don't think you have Ryu.
Chun-Li. No, I had enough left over from the Battle Pass, and it had a recent release of Cammy, so there was enough left over to get him, so I got, like, Dad Ryu as the alternate of Ryu. He's, like, he's got the beard shirt
Ryu
on.
Yeah.
It's like, calm down, dude. Fucking pride is over, dog. Jesus. But yeah.
Doing poppers, dancing in the basement. Ryu, his beer.
So So Fortnite very quickly became a sort of, you know, what it is for other people. It's just that Sorry, I was laughing because I was saying it became what it is for other people, but then I immediately thought of the first couple times we played Fortnite and how you just described me as a psychopath. And I started laughing at myself. Yeah, Michelle does not... It's very funny. And again, I think this honestly comes mostly from my my time playing with Magic, with competitive Magic and with Magic players. They're very short and curt type of individual. The ones that are have personality and do table talk are few and far between. Mm-hmm. And you know,
you're just spitting in your hands. It's time to fucking die.
No, you're just very straightforward about things. If you lose, you own up to it, or you roll your eyes at the RNG, which is, again, these same things happen in Fortnite. The reasons why I lost are either I fucked up and I missed, or, gosh, that guy sure had better stuff than I did, and that's really not up to me now, is it?
That's up to you and God.
Yeah. That's on God. That's on God. That's on RNG Jesus right there. So, you know, I'm used to a lot of this stuff. And then, yeah, when I play a game like Apex, I take it pretty sweaty, and it's very fun to sweat in those games. Because, you know, at the end of the day, what's Battle Royale about? Being the last alive. Yeah. If you're not the last alive, you may as well have gone out having a pretty fun time.
I mean, yeah.
So those are your two options.
My feeling is when we're pubbing around.
Right.
Like... Now, if we did arenas where it's the ranked mode, that's where you could be legit sweaty, but
yeah,
that's where it's less fun because you have to have a functioning knowledge of building. We mainly pub.
Anytime I play Fortnite with Michelle, I do zero building.
Yeah, I've done some building, but it's mainly on hills at like the fucking fourth or fifth circle. It's nowhere near like where I have to be like considerate and try to really do cross ups where one person jumps low and the other person jumps high and they both have shotguns and they're trying to do shit from hard boiled.
That's sicko shit.
But yeah, no. These perverts do drills where they train to do that move together and do other moves and build their ways out of problems. There's like training arenas settings. When I last played Fortnite, it actually changed since the last time I played it with y'all. So they have a new menu layout. It resembles less a third person, the first person shooter, and now resembles Little Big Planet or fucking In Dreams.
I think that's a good point.
Now, the menu system changed before you guys had gotten to see it, where you can now choose individual player creations from a massive list that is curated and kept in line strips, like, say, a Netflix series of things.
This is kind of the second part of Fortnite that we're getting into.
Yeah, this is this current thing. I just fucked with it a few days ago. I was able to set up a series of favorites of games. I set the official Epic games in there. I left out the ranked games because I just dick around, and I went back and found old rotating stuff. Oh, the new MLK event? Guess what, guys? You can bookmark it. You can put that one in the old pocket if you like.
That's like a whole separate topic.
Oh, that's Michelle, a whole other topic, baby.
What do you mean there's an MLK event in Fortnite?
Yeah, Michelle, please explain.
Well, Ruben, I'm glad you asked. Fortnite, as we've said, is very large. Now, to back up a little bit, to put this all in context, they started doing large-scale theatrical events in tandem for the Rise of Skywalker. One of the most notable instances is where actual story is shared that is canon in the Fortnite Star Wars event, where they play some footage. This is around the holidays, and Fortnite's Christmas had many days associated with it. You could get whatever you wanted from under the tree out of order. One of the gifts was the Millennium Falcon. Sometime later, they premiered new footage from Rise of Skywalker. Jeff Keighley and representation of J.J. Abrams and what's that one guy from fucking Parks and Rec?
There's yelled, several guys.
All right, from Parks sorry. And Rec. Let me fine tune that. Who would later go on to work at fucking DuckTales?
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz plays a nameless stormtrooper. And they go through this rigmarole. Jeff Keighley asks people to do a series of polls and then asks them to dance at specific points. This is all a live event with live coordinated streaming voice and all of that stuff. And so it's all coordinated. And at some point, Ben Schwartz basically leaves the box there that everyone's been sort of looking at the whole time. The box opens up and everyone grabs out lightsabers at once. And then everyone starts hurtling into one another and murdering each other. This happened for millions of people simultaneously in the world. And I think that's neat. But yeah, no, I remember killing 20 people at once in this weird fucking event with lightsaber fighting.
It's basically Second Life, you know? Like it
in the
it's
events,
what Second Life wanted to be. Yeah, and I'm specifically talking about these types of events. It's not always Second Life. Mm-hmm. But the platform that they've built for themselves means that at any given time they can kind of turn on an ability for you to just walk around. I mean, you can do this in the regular game too, but what we'll inevitably talk about and what I'll just like bring up is that like it's, you know, Fortnite is getting closer and closer to what's it called?
Ready Player One.
Every day. Every day we stray further from God's light and further into Ernest Cline's bullshit.
Oh, hell yeah, no. So here's where we get to the now. It has massive cultural purchase, especially leading into the COVID era. This place was one of the biggest places in the world to meet regularly, aside from, say, Animal Crossing. Because at the height of quarantine, there were two types of specific consumers catered towards that got what they wanted consumption-wise, because they, in some ways, almost sort of didn't have a choice. Streaming media and games as a service model games that are free to play out of the gate. Everyone's coffers are fucking running over at this point. And so the George Floyd uprisings happen, and it's insane. Several police stations are burned from within. Many argue that the cops sort of let them do that so they could get massive inflated budgets. What is the truth? Is it somewhere between the two? I don't know. But it's happening, and it is a massive, persistent outswelling of violence and protest and, you know, culture war. It's basically the Ferguson riots in a much more amplified and state-to-state in occurrence. Become so large that it's addressed in media consistently and constantly. Digital media especially, because they've got a captive audience. YouTube, all of these places. Twitch, the fucking Paul Brothers, if you could believe it, around that time. And yeah, so of course, a pre-recorded video package was shared by, I believe, Opus about Black Lives Matter and specifically commenting on the George Floyd riots. People like Van Jones, several famous authors, a fucking Killer Mike was there. And at this point, you've got Captain America, you've got Batman at this point, several superheroes like standing and shaking hands, or really awkward shit like kneeling. But at the time, you could also like shoot paint and plungers and shit at the screen. And so you were throwing Looney Tunes shit on the screen as Van Jones is talking solemnly about this or that way to address structurally bad things. And that sort of media voice where they don't like really want to ameliorate real change, but are just like, here are the five things you can fucking do at home.
Right.
That's a whole other can of worms.
It's a very strange...
But yeah, this is happening at Fortnite, of all things.
Yeah.
Cut
yeah,
to
exactly.
Now.
This is like the cross of like... whatever you want to call woke marketing, and then the idea that Fortnite has this huge platform that most other people do not.
I know the answer to that. No one will like it. They're looking into the future. What would a version of this in, say, VR look like, or you know, a similar simulacrum where you can walk around the grounds, even if it's at a distance, be it AR or whatever, and have this experience. And so one of the ways to establish that is to push the bounds of taste. Now, MLK, A March Through Time, done in conjunction with Time Magazine, is one of a few prepackaged events that does not use the scripting system of Fortnite events. It's basically in-engine within its creative mode. Now, you can have certain piped-in proprietary footage if you are a partner or receive special permissions from Fortnite proper. So for this, there was a big screen playing in Fortnite because they have a in-game video codec that plays out footage on screen. It's what they used for the Star Wars event. They fixed that technology and had like a pretty good image in-game projection. It's really weird what they're able to do. I mean, remember how I told y'all to like go talk to an ATM? You were all violently disappointed with seeing Ryan Reynolds, that big hologram.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. So imagine really nice that.
What I love are video advertisements in my video game. That's what I am very.
That
happy
are also
about.
Associated with getting XP for progress on a product that you pay for. So if you buy a battle pass, I'm pretty sure there's a quest behind getting to those ATMs to get a couple levels in the battle pass.
Well, let me tell you something, Ruben. There's only one way to get real progress.
Yeah.
In America.
What's that?
And it's by working together to solve mini game activities that are collaborative, where you complete them with others, Ruben, and then you unlock experience through the important themes of Dr. King's speech. We move forward when we move together. You'll get a free DC 63 spray in game. So if I said shot you in the chest, I could spray that down afterwards and fucking dab on what remains of you, Ruben. If I wanted to. I'm not saying I will. But it's there.
It also goes without saying, if anyone didn't see it, they had to disable, or if you didn't mention it, I was kind of lost there for a minute, that they had to disable most emotes and like dances from the MLK event. Particularly,
right.
I think something happened where they fucked up, and because of how they coded the event, they couldn't disable the Catwoman whip emote.
That's correct.
And for a time, it was the only thing you could do.
I do believe the reason they couldn't disable it is that it's something you have to get from paying for it, and I'm only guessing because there's debates about, you know, balancing things in other games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let's take this gun out of the game. And legally, if you've purchased a skin for that gun, then there would be, I think, legal purchase for you to maybe class action lawsuit a company. And I'm talking about hypotheticals and legal shit here, where like
like basically Apex, and I think probably similar to Fortnite, they can basically never, well, no, because Fortnite says your skins can go on any gun, right? Like your skins are wrappers.
Yeah.
Basically, the skins are modular for everything.
So this is how Fortnite gets around what I'm talking about. Yeah. But in Apex, for instance, if they were to remove a gun outright and you had bought a skin for that gun, you would then not have access to something you paid money for. And I think that is the same reason that the Catwoman fiasco happened.
I mean, vaulting in Apex.
No, I'm not talking about vaulting. I'm talking about literally, like, so vaulting would imply putting it in a care package or something like that where you can still technically get it. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about wholesale removing a weapon, which I guess you could call vaulting. That's my bad on language.
Yeah. Not the specific Apex conception of vaulting.
So that's just, like, legally, I think that's why they can't do it. And I wonder if that's how they ended up in that Catwoman scenario of, like, yeah, it's absurd that you could walk into this historically, supposedly a historically sensitive presentation about black people in America, and then you just see a bunch of assholes doing a whip emoji. not a great look.
Rick and Morty need to put down the whips in.
Yeah, and then they're doing the whatever that, what's the dance where you cross your arms and ride a horse? They're doing Gangnam Style and they're cracking
Gangnam
whips.
Style, folks. They can't be doing Gangnam Style.
We shouldn't do Gangnam Style while MLK delivers the "I Have a Dream" speech. We simply should not.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. You have to push the bounds of taste. Hey, you want to know what's not going to happen in Fortnite? The Anne Frank Memorial House. You want to know it's not going to happen in Fortnite? Unless you say create a private instance server, which is a thing you can sort of do vaguely, Garry's Mod style. You cannot create Auschwitz in Fortnite, as far as I know, so far yet. So, sweat is running down my forehead.
God knows if the tools existed, someone would have figured it out by now.
Let me get in here real quick to mix something up for you. So, on top of the MLK event coming out, the Travis Scott shit, Galactus being in Fortnite recently, and the Rift Tour by Ariana Grande, I was thinking could have a good mashup to kind of work with Fortnite's, like, cartoony themings. And if anyone's familiar with the 1998 animated movie Our Friend Martin, they could have a cool event where...
You know what?
Of course!
I just want to... No, actually, hold on. Ruben, I'm just not familiar with it. I'm sorry.
Oh, so...
What is Our Friend Martin?
Y'all haven't seen Our Friend Martin at, like, in elementary school or something like that? It's a classic.
What's Our Friend Martin?
So, it was an animated movie.
Is this what they showed to people if you grew up in an area, like, without black people?
What?
I went to school with black people. It was a new school, though. It's hard to field that question, but we're going to move on.
I learned quite a bit of what is in this
it's
movie.
A very
however, race relations I don't think I've
positive
seen this movie.
Movie. The film follows a Mexican girl, a white kid, and a black kid that visit the home of Martin Luther King, and they're checking out shit, and they're like, this field trip sucks. But then they find a watch, Martin Luther King's watch, that is in the place he put it the night he was assassinated. And upon using this watch, it teleports you back in time when you pick this watch up. And they meet Martin Luther King when he's like 5, baby King. They see him in the hospital.
Holy shit.
They're like, what the fuck? After several time jumps, they realize we're watching Martin Luther King's life unfold. We know how this ends, and we can change it. And don't go home, baby. Don't go home. They're going to kill you. You got to get out of there. Don't go back. And they're like, so he had a nice speech at this point about how he has to die for the good of the people.
What?
And he takes his watch back. He goes to the home, winds it, puts it down on the counter, and then you see the sniper outside the window, and then it sends the kids back in time, back to where they came.
My God.
Dude, yeah, no.
The FBI 100% paid for this movie. No. I don't even care how the money was laundered.
I need
this
to
was,
die, children. Let
they
me
literally,
die.
They literally,
I think,
they
think they
literally
didn't
made
say
a movie that said
them.
It's okay. No, it's not about Ruben. It's not about who killed him.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's about making a movie that says, no, he was supposed to die. Because if he didn't, we'd all be racist right now. Because
his point wouldn't matter. He
what?
Has to become a martyr. And knowing that the bullet's
this
coming,
is insane.
He can't
I don't
dodge
wanna,
it. With
I don't
want to
up in the whole episode,
time travel
but
knowledge.
This is fucking my shit up a little bit.
Oh yeah, no, that's part of the American set, or excuse me, American conception of freedom and anti-revolutionary impulses. There isn't anything worth dying for.
So we could have a good Fortnite tie-in. Do you try to save Martin? The pivotal moments of his life to let him know he doesn't have to be a martyr to fight the good fight.
I mean, if they ended the season that way, it's an alien invasion themed
this movie
season.
Is a fucking
you have to go back
mess.
In time to stop aliens from invading. And by the way, Martin Luther King's here and he's swinging the pickaxe. And by the way, Martin Luther King, drink that slurp
okay.
juice, baby. We're
this movie also has a pretty wild voice cast. This movie has Danny Glover, Whoopi Goldberg, Samuel Jackson, James Earl Jones, Ashley Judd, Richard Kind, Yolanda King, Susan Sarandon, John Travolta, Oprah Winfrey as Coretta Scott King.
She was just hanging around. Holy
this
shit.
Is, I mean, LeVar Burton, Jaleel White, like every big Hollywood, you know, like black actor who was there at the time.
And it looks
Dexter
like Captain,
King.
It looks like either Captain Planet or that
Martin,
HBO Spawn.
Martin Luther King's kid played him at age 34. They
Jesus
listed.
Christ.
But I remember being shown this
Child
movie
Martin
every
Luther
year
King.
In elementary school for like 3
Holy
years.
Holy shit.
That's
on Martin
why
Luther King
you're like
Day.
That. That's why
this
you're like that.
This movie is insane.
Holy shit. He just got king-pilled. That was
Look,
it.
Listen. Listen, if I was in the situation that I had a time travel watch and Martin Luther King was going to be killed, I wouldn't simply just tell the man. I would go kill the assassin, too.
Yeah,
take direct action. Don't just tell him and be like, now I'll get shot, it's good.
Well, yeah,
do something
no.
about it.
Well, no, because it becomes a different genre of movie. Because in order to do that, you're basically sneaking into the FBI. And now it's a heist film.
I'm still trying to tease apart this. So they
steal all the documents
kid
on how
Martin
the killings
Luther
were performed
King.
By who and what position.
Wait.
How do I stop the FBI from within?
Ruben, can I run this by you? They take child Martin Luther King into the present.
Okay.
And then the moment they do that, they go to a racist present because they took
yeah,
Martin
they also,
Luther King
out
of the timeline.
They take him out of the time stream and they fucking ruin.
And so then, to be clear, 12-year-old Martin Luther King comes to the conclusion that he has to go back in time and live his life up to the moment that he knows his 12-year-old mind now knows he will get shot. And he says, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to go do that.
They gave him the will to fight racism. They took him.
Oh,
time travelers took Martin
God.
Luther King to the future that he didn't prevent and showed him that he has to spend his life
okay.
martyring for the
we gotta
good
watch
of
this.
Race relations.
I'm going to find this. This is insane.
It's
yeah,
just
no,
on YouTube.
This is like Assassin 33
AD.
Yeah, this is...
Like, have you ever seen Assassin 33 AD?
I can only imagine I dodged this because the majority of the teachers that would have shown me this growing up were black, and maybe were like, this is dumb? I have no idea.
No,
this
it fucking
is,
owns.
Jake, I have to...
Owns.
I have to interject. I have one concept that you guys will immediately think is better. So, there's a Christian... There's like a weird... Fundy, although it's mainly more like media conservative, let's say, or media Christian series of films where it's always like
you're talking about God's Not Dead or whatever?
Yeah, like that shit. But
yeah.
Oh, there is one film that diverges wildly from this track and presupposes some goofy Philip K. Dick shit. What if you could go back in time and kill Jesus Christ? These guys are initially finding out about teleportation, and Ruben's nodding his fucking head off. He's like, yes, let's go.
assassinate Jesus.
This guy, long story short, basically figures out time travel on accident. A operator type. His family dies in the beginning of a movie. The last thing his wife says to him is, "Honey, I think God has something very special planned for you," she says with tears in her eyes. A fucking semi-truck slams into them, kills his wife and his child, and he's like sitting around drinking and cursing God, and then he gets a chance to like kill Jesus, and he takes it after he gets transported back into time, and like Jesus is able to speak English to him, and they all make a note of this. Like, no one else can understand what Jesus is saying.
If you go back in time to kill Jesus, how would you even...
he puts the gun to him. He puts the gun to him, and he's like, "I'm ready to do this." And Jesus is like, "What if I want this to happen?" It was just like, that's the coldest shit, Jesus.
That's part of my plan, motherfucker.
That's part of my plan.
What are you going to do?
What if I want
kill
you
me?
To shoot me? Pull the trigger. It just, and the dude shoots Jesus in the head twice. He's like, bop, bop.
Double tapped.
Fucking smashes his computer. After he gets done canoeing Jesus, it's a whole series of events, but long story short, like, of the two premises, saving Martin Luther King only for him to say no, I want to die. It immediately reminded me of Jesus just saying, no. It's actually my idea that you're blowing my brains out.
Same shit.
You've been Jesused. Like,
no, it's cool, actually. You know what, FBI? Let me make it easy for you.
Yeah, Assassin 33 AD. Incredible film. But yeah, like, Fortnite tie-ins for either.
I mean, obviously, like, so, like, here's the other thing. Like, we don't really have, I mean, as far as I know, I don't work in schools. I don't think there's too many modern Our Friend Martins. So, I think Fortnite MLK thing.
Fortnite MLK thing is easily.
Yeah.
We got two, yeah, we got two urgent questions.
I think that's what we have now.
First, we got to throw it to Michelle. Michelle, alternate skins for Jesus. Go. Give me two solid skins Jesus would wear.
You gotta put Jesus in Fortnite. You're in the marketing meeting.
Okay,
you can't be regular. Cannot be robes.
We got Last Jesus. Supper. We got Last Supper. That's like iconic.
Isn't that just regular Jesus though?
No. It's Last Supper Jesus.
It's Last Supper Jesus.
He doesn't have on his velour vest. He's just in the white rags. He's in his fucking karate gi at the table. He's just rocking that.
All right, okay.
And the other one would be camouflage Jesus, like Jesus in camouflage.
Like the robe, or it is a ghillie suit, modern.
It's like
camo?
A ghillie suit.
It looks like the shitty tree camo at fucking one. Bass Pro Shop.
The only person that's getting nailed up to something tonight is Jesus in his fucking.
You could have an execution emote where you crucify someone as Jesus. Put them on.
No. What happens is like.
No, we
you do
that's
the execution as Jesus, and you kill yourself instead of the enemy.
You die.
You just nail yourself to the cross, and you just look down at the other character, and you're just like, "I forgive you." Like,
I did
this so that your eternal soul would be saved. This is what
heaven.
I'm doing here. What are you doing?
The whole service like will read Bible verses and watch this cutscene unfold for 30 minutes while you die like, for the other player's sins.
The players hate the amount of frames this takes up.
Does Fortnite have finishers? Like when
Fortnite
someone is
does
down?
Not have finishers.
Not
it
yet.
Does
oh, that would be a good finisher.
Melee.
A good finisher
so,
would be
so the closest
Jesus
it has right
taking
now is
a
like,
downed person
if
and building
Mystique
a cross
kills someone,
and putting
Mystique
them up on the cross.
Will become that person for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
That's the closest you get
right.
to like an interaction
but that's not like,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah,
not the same.
A finisher
same.
Is like more
you
like
can't
just
do
it.
You can do
flashy.
Your dance over someone, but you can't.
That's
I watched
it's
something recently.
Yeah.
I watched
I think
something
that's
recently.
What they do, yeah.
The closest I've seen, Jake, is
right.
The game has interpersonal emotes, which means I put my hand up for a high five, you click on me, you hit me back.
That's
I watched someone high five in the imposter mode with an imposter, and then the imposter immediately killed them. Like, that's the closest I've seen. I just started running, and then I just pointed, I was like, this motherfucker did it.
I just think Jesus crucifying someone that he downs would be a good finisher.
Yeah, no. When Jesus does an execution, he kills himself. That's
yeah, you...
rather, when society kills
you
him.
You go to kill someone, and you get on the cross, and they nail you to it, and you say it's all for you, and then that person's soul goes to heaven, and then you're reborn, and you get the new fucking swag-ass robes, the fucking red whites. With the fucking
band. No. You enter the match as the lamb, and then you like
Gandalf
at the midpoint of the match.
Gandalf
as the lion.
Hill.
Yeah, you like roll over the stone. You're ready. You're building every wall.
You equip the stone as your melee weapon in the bunker of your cave.
Oh my god! You just Jake, throw this last of disc.
Don't act like I didn't say we didn't have two questions, Jake. We need your Fortnite crossover event. Let's go. What do you want in Fortnite?
That's a good question. You really can put just about anything, huh? I mean, they just put fucking...
Just
like,
all.
It's not, like, Bad Boys 3 came out, like, a year ago, and they just put Will Smith from Bad Boys in Fortnite, so there's not even any, like...
That was actually pretty good.
There's not even any...
And it's an alien invasion-themed Fortnite season.
Whatever
franchise has Will Smith been in, in which invading aliens have
a
specific premise?
I think it was when a cop in L.A. I think that's the best Will Smith movie you could.
No, it's that time he was in the Old West.
You know what? I think I just figured it out. They need to put the Blues Brothers in Fortnite because it's just irrelevant enough, but also just iconic enough that even if kids don't know what it was, they would see.
Oh, Jake.
Well, there you go.
Close.
Yeah.
They got,
I mean, Ghostbusters has a lot more cultural purchase than the Blues Brothers,
fucking
but it would be the same.
The Ecto-1 in Fortnite?
Like, I would definitely buy. I wouldn't buy, but I would love to see John Belushi in fucking Fortnite. That's my crossover.
There's one consistent car that's been under a big tarp. I'm of the belief that it's on a specific island in the game, but it makes the same sounds as the Ecto-1.
It's going to be a crossover with the new Ghostbusters
movie. It's been there for almost a year now. So
that's
whenever
because
the
new Ghostbusters movie has been delayed.
They're going to have to do Ghostbusters 2
it
to
is,
the female
I
cast,
guarantee
and then
you,
we're
going to
drop
you.
Ecto-1 into Fortnite.
No, it's just going to be that new one. That new one's already done. It just got pushed back. Yeah, that's funny to think about, that car has been under wraps for that long in Fortnite because they wouldn't just take it out, I guess, but they also can't put it in until the movie's out.
So final answer, Blues Brothers event, is that what you're saying?
If you want an actual answer out of me, I would 100% want to both Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi in Fortnite as the Blues Brothers, with potentially a car and potentially Princess Leia in a nun outfit, God rest her soul. I can't think of her name because we're recording and I'm having
Carrie
a brain
Fisher
fart. Thank
yeah,
you
Jesus Christ,
Carrie Fisher
Bat
yeah,
Milker,
Carrie Fisher
Carrie
in a nun
Fisher.
Outfit. I could get Carrie, I couldn't get Fisher, and I didn't want to go half.
Carrie
Fisher post 40, fucking hot spec material. Carrie Fisher,
so
fucking
literally,
ghost.
Jesus Christ, dog.
Carrie Fisher
Sarandon,
shoots
right up there
Carrie,
with blasting.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Don't
here's,
even.
Here's my pitch. Jesus, here's my pitch. What is more Fortnite than Carrie Fisher in a nun outfit shooting a rocket launcher? Right.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Liz. She already is a Fortnite character. In
what's
movie.
On my
nuns,
top 10 list of things
nuns.
That make me come?
She's literally a Fortnite.
Shut the fuck up. Shut your
she's literally
up,
a Fortnite character in that movie. She follows the Blues Brothers around trying to kill them. She's a fucking Fortnite character.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I feel like the nun with a weapon thing is going to be difficult to sell, but I mean, they have like Harry Potter shit, so who could
they already have Leia.
They all have
right?
guns. Batman uses a gun. To kill his own
Batman
hey,
using a gun.
We need
yeah,
Batman's
that's
parents.
The, okay,
Fortnite.
that's the really fun thing about Fortnite is it just like there's no world in which they're like, yeah, I mean, they get Batman guns on action figures and stuff. So I actually shouldn't say this, but it's very funny that Fortnite allows people like Superman or like LeBron James to run around with AK-47s just gadding people in the face. There
Ariana
is
Grande.
Definitely something appealing about this.
Ariana Grande with the Glicky. Ariana Grande, just for some perspective. not to be glib, Ariana Grande publicly lost like a friend slash possible partner in Mac Miller or whatever, and then fucking, was that always platonic? I don't know. I'm not into.
No, I think they actually dated.
Okay.
Then so like they broke up and then he died.
Actual terrorism survivor Ariana Grande planting bombs in vehicles and also opening fire.
Oh wait, I thought of another answer that's actually incredibly appropriate and should happen, and it's Outkast. Another duo, Outkast and Fortnite, please.
Oh yeah, I mean,
give me Andre 3000. Give me
Andre 3000. I don't know. Did he get uncancelled?
I don't know. I mean,
I'm listen. Not keeping track. I just like
I didn't know I there was a cancellation.
It. Yeah. No.
So
I don't have
that's
to.
That's maybe my bad.
Well, we had Carrie Fisher on the.
That's
brand,
not your
so
bad.
I wanted to bring up, if you're now jonesing for a Carrie Fisher film, I would recommend White Lightning, the 2009 film. White Lightning without the G. Just if you want to see some Fisher on the screen right now and don't want to watch Star Wars, it just comes to mind.
Oh, right on. Shoutouts to White Lightning. I don't even know what that movie is. Cool.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, as far as Fortnite questions, nothing else springs to mind.
That was my main ones that we wanted to get into. Jesus skins. How about one
maybe
more for you?
A fair
when
bit
you're
of ground,
playing
but
as
it's
Jesus
just a weird...
and you're in the lion robe, when you press G and transform into a new type, what do you want that to do, Michelle?
Wait, so I press what to what?
So you know you have the She-Hulk skin, and you start out as Nerd Lawyer, and then you press G, and then you turn into a very buff woman that's very sexually arousing. And you're green.
Okay, keep going.
So if you're Jesus, and you have the robe and the sash, and then you hit G.
Oh, what's his...
How does... Word, what's Jesus' pop-off and
so transformation? So there's a few EXs in the game. Tony Stark turns into Iron Man. Clark Kent turns into Superman. There is no Bruce Wayne skin. Batman only shows up as Batman. Fucking Venom is just Venom. Wolverine can be a guy in a shirt sometimes. That's it. That said, Jesus, he's... He's gonna be like pre-death Jesus as your starter. So he's gonna have lashes on his back and blood on his shoulders and shit. He's gonna be fucking Passion of Christ. So like blood coming down, dude. It'd be sick with it. The crown of thorns coming on a downward curve diagonal arc. Just like someone keeps pulling on this, like they think I'm a fucking horse, and I don't appreciate it. I'm just trying to lift this fucking cross to where I have to be, and none of you are helping. You're actually making it hard. Do you want this cross to go up or what? Like, what are we doing here?
And footnote, is the Jesus pickaxe the cross?
Easily. Is that a serious question?
Yeah, easily.
And
he's
then
just whacking
who
away
who
with
broke
the big-ass
cross.
Cross.
Was it Mary... It wasn't Mary...
Nobody.
Magdalene.
It was Buff
who the
Jesus.
Fuck was
no.
It? I just heard this name. The lady that broke the cross,
what?
Would her pickaxe be the dual-wielding the broken cross? So the top half
no,
and the bottom half?
No, no. I think the main one for, like, Jesus antagonist figures would be, like, the Roman soldier whips. Or, like,
well,
a
we
piece
already know
of
that
lashing
whips, whips are problematic territory in Fortnite.
I'm saying, listen, I didn't make it. I did not make them do this.
I mean...
That said...
Yeah.
It would be like cleaned up Jesus. He's like imbued with light. He's like very... He's gleaming. He's not gonna like produce weird ray tracing artifacts on the playfield. You don't want to have an unfair advantage with Jesus. Even though it's kind of really hard to pull up on Jesus, especially when he's glowing like that. You know those old Russian portraits where they just have a big golden aura around him? Kind of just
yeah.
Looks like that, but a 2D artifact floating around. So it just looks like that from every angle. They spared no expense with the juiced up Jesus skin. Honest answer.
Jesus skin. Costs $30, though. And you have to do a quest line. You got to find the cave that's empty. You got to move the boulder. Get some C4. Oh, shit, it's empty. I mean, what? $30. It's empty.
We haven't, even, where is haven't even talked about... I was about to say, we haven't even talked now. About loot boxes. $30.
40,000 V-Bucks.
It's interesting that they've kind of moved away from that model, haven't they? Like, Fortnite now, you can really just buy everything that comes out directly. You don't even need a loot box for a lot of it.
Or, well, yeah, you can just buy all of the levels to unlock it and then don't even fucking play. Just spend,
right,
spend
and
$80
Battle
right now.
Play too.
And just turn right. it off. A better use
but
of
for a hot while money. There, I mean, the other interesting thing about Fortnite is it always becomes a hotbed for whatever gaming issue we've had, right? So there was like that... They got a class action for loot boxes, which not the only game company, I think, to do so. But then more recently, they got this whole fucking Apple versus Epic thing going, which was like basically turning a lawsuit into a marketing spectacle, which was a weird fucking move by them. But it was something that was clearly calculated where, you know, like they have a store within their store and Apple said no. And then they said, fuck you to Apple. And then now you can't play Fortnite on iPhone anymore. And it's been that way for like a year now.
And they threw a pickaxe through the black and white Orwell
screen.
And
the moment they did that, they had a commercial ready to go, which was like directly flexing on Apple and fucking
commercial.
Referencing. Yeah, no, they were like, they clearly knew this was going to happen eventually and were just ready for it to happen at any moment.
Right
now. Apple's bullet. In the chamber.
So it becomes this very interesting hotbed for like I don't even like any larger issue in gaming you can
it's a digital,
often see echoed in Fortnite.
I would
it's
like to
digital
imagine
storefront. They do have the right to at least try to poke a hole in the censorship slash.
I'm not pro Apple either. Yeah, it's very interesting it's that these companies get to fuck with one another.
It's so weird, like Fortnite technically, or Epic, isn't in the wrong necessarily, but the thing with also being able to establish your own rules for your own marketplace means, like on Apple, a lot of stuff is censored in a specific way, and price schemes happen on Apple's terms within its own proprietary store.
To be clear, yeah, the Apple store is a fucking mafia racket. They take so much off the top. They take so much cream off the top.
And
it's nuts.
And games, if you try to make any games with certain themes within them, Apple can and will basically keep you off of their storefront. They cultivate a very specific type of game with specific type of developers in very limited capacities recently with their Apple Arcade project, which seems to be their answer to the Game Pass model, like Devolver Digital, I think a company we all know. Like they did an Enter the Gungeon sort of spin-off, and I think some other titles for Apple Arcade. It's not like indies are completely away from the platform, but Apple tries its best to be apolitical, so any games with specific discrete political themes that aren't like AAA titles, they fucking usually shoo it away. That's how their publishing end is. So I could see where Fortnite slash Epic basically is trying to effectively buck that. And like right now, I think they're closer to a resolution, or the resolution has happened already, but like...
Yeah, what's interesting about it is that, I mean, really, like, again, a thing unique to the entity known as Fortnite, like, what... There's really not many other companies that would have the stake in the Apple Store to even do this in an impactful way. I think Apple could give a fuck about most things that aren't Fortnite, but that absolutely represents a chunk of revenue for them that they clearly are disputing how much of that revenue
is
worth
also,
theirs.
Here are the companies that Apple can tell no.
Right.
This is who runs this shit. You know, we saw it with Tumblr, we saw it with in a limited capacity eBay recently. And again, Epic doesn't say any, or doesn't really do anything out of line with most of Apple's procedural processes. with the exception of being able to buy stuff through itch.io, through a sort of Epic affiliate setup. It's weird, but basically you can do itch.io stuff, and Apple was citing it as like this horrible marketplace of unspeakable terrors and shit, and it was very it was a lot of hyperbole in the sort of legal language of the proceedings, where it's like, no, there's anything transgressive, Apple washes its hands of whole cloth.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the reasons you can't, you know, you've dealt with censorship, Apple issues with your own comics work, but like, yeah, you can't buy booby comics on Comixology and read them on your iPad.
Yeah, that's like, that's the sort of level of hand-holding.
Right.
You can maybe for the immediate future do browser-based viewing of like NSFW materials, and I'm not just saying porn, like, I mean, transgressive like, comics, this or
just
that.
Just bro shit, like literally just comics where they draw boobs.
Yeah, where boobs are just like an ancillary thing, maybe not even a sexual context.
And right, right.
That gets censored. It's a whole different deal, and honestly, it's surprising in as much as Fortnite is the most high concept conception of self-censorship I've ever seen. It's like in very limited capacities, there are a handful of horny things within Fortnite itself. I think we joked about it. I was just like the short list of Fortnite characters that are going to be in Source, Filmmaker, and Blender porn. like Chun-Li. Like you will die playing as Chun-Li a lot.
Why, Michelle?
Why are they killing Chun-Li? More than other people?
The very caked up Chun-Li, let's say. It's from Street Fighter Alpha, basically, the outfit.
Yeah.
It's a little egregious, if we're being real. And yeah, they have a character with a dump truck ass whose dump truck ass created a different hitbox that was much easier to target due to how caked up she was. They reworked it. She is now in the game.
By the way, Fortnite erasure of not having enough fucking fat ass and just thick-thighed people in general when you could play more of those characters in its base mode, but the Battle Royale version could only have petite characters for competitive reasons. Fucking hot horse shit.
It's true.
Oh, they avoided making big people for hitbox reasons?
Sure, yeah. That's why.
And thick thighs save lives.
They did eventually start adding bigger characters, although it would happen in later seasons. There's the big, beefy scientist characters, there's a lot of the science fiction characters.
The cat with a muscle builder body, but a cat head. Just ultra fuckable human
big
body, and then a
shoulders.
Big cartoon cat head.
It's so unnatural and weird. There's
a living banana.
A living banana. A banana that is half banana and undead banana, so a banana skeleton.
More
it's
pajamas
upsetting.
That I'm comfortable with. A lot of like onesie-esque pajama outfits that I'm kind of uncomfortable with the number that they have.
Yeah. It's like
it's
who's
popular
this for?
With their... it's almost as if it's for children.
Well, I mean, even then.
Not for 35-plus-year-olds.
Yeah,
right.
Exclusively on female character.
I mean, I was also going to say, like, how many streamers probably stream in a onesie half the time or whatever? I don't know.
That seems unrelated, Jake.
That's the other thing. I went to look at top Fortnite streamers, and I just simply do not know these people. I know none of the top 20.
I first saw
these people have.
In terms of career, it seemed like it was a handful of YouTube variety gamers / streamers that when Fortnite hit its shit, they were like, oh, I was playing Fortnite before 30 million people were in it. And they just exclusively went to Fortnite streaming because that's how you get money.
Jeez. I mean, but I guess that's the way now, huh? Like, anyone that does streaming, like, you get enough time into it, you want to consider some sort of revenue stream.
If you want to retire, you ground floor
the money that's coming. You didn't like, see Fortnite and it 10 is, million people you know, overnight. And
it's one of the reasons I thought it was relevant. People make money off Fortnite. People make their own living off Fortnite that is not related necessarily. Like, you know, Epic doesn't get a cut off of their Twitch streams, even though they probably would love to.
Yeah, it's one of the
few... it's like a tool for people to make money in a lot of ways, you know, as a streamer, as a variety, as a, which is its own terrible, awful sounding existence, but is a model where you're working for yourself in a lot of ways. You're obviously also on Twitch, but
the framework
that's a whole different discussion.
The framework is there, but historically, the high end people that really make the money, they're spread out what they work on anyway in terms of
right.
playing.
And like, it's like a platform. Like Ninja started playing. He's not just a Fortnite guy anymore. Neither is probably anyone that got that big off of Fortnite, right?
Yeah, no. You have to stay relevant.
Not in all cases, though. I mean, a good amount of them are just going to ride this into the ground.
Absolutely,
we're and still, those we're are still absolutely people other getting people. 3 million viewer hours in Twitch in the last 30 days just from fucking Fortnite streaming. In particular, exactly, Jelty is where I'm pulling this number from.
Tons of children and kids. I mean, you know, it makes sense. Like, you want to watch people that play the game you're playing. You want to get better at it, etc. But it's just become such a predominant
form.
That
would be my next 6 years, my whole fucking life.
Yeah, right?
That'd be 2,000 hours Fortnite. Easy.
Ruben would be building all over these hoes.
I would have been working way sooner.
We've been ricking all
about
mornings.
Fortnite, I was building something today in tunes with my theme of doing something in the episode. I was doing some jigsaw work before we started recording.
Whoa, kidnapping people and forcing them to do terrible death traps?
Yeah.
Sounds sus.
In front of you were three gaming laptops.
Doing some jigsawing earlier today. It's a hobby. I jigsaw people from time to time.
Sometimes I put people
You know, not consistently.
I hear you
maybe
like to play Rick
twice
Sanchez
a year,
Fortnite,
three times
and you
a
dabbed
year.
On me yesterday. In front of you was a chicken.
But you were actually making some stuff out of some wood. You were building some walls.
Let's see how fast a whipped man can dig. Oh, God.
Jesus.
All right,
I saw what you did at the MLK event in Fortnite, the March Through Time. Let's see how you like being whipped in the field.
Let's see what happens when time runs out. Oh, God, fuck me. I hate this so much.
I'll be pelting you with water balloons filled with paint while you dig your own grave.
So you were doing jigsawing and woodworking terms,
Did you build a ramp so that you could get up to your roof so that you could take a better sniper shot on your neighbor? And you learned that from
Fortnite?
I was
building a platform to turn my RAV4 into a sleeping cabin to camp with.
That's what's up.
But I just wanted to relate it to Fortnite.
It's a Ruben Woods. Ruben's wood check-in. It's also notable that when we all play together, Ruben is the only one in Fortnite who has any grasp of the building system.
Yep. Yeah, I learned that you can press three buttons in sequence while holding down the mouse button, and the walls appear to let you walk up them. And
I definitely can't.
They have a joke option. They actually have a trap in the game. If let's all imagine building. I'll explain to the viewers at home. You can build floors, walls, ramps that connect to them, and then you can also build roofs that are not conical. They're like little pyramid cones that you can put on top of the structure. The fourth option is completely useless 99% of the time, and you ignore it. You unbind that from your keyboard, and then you have floor, wall, ramp. And if you just slap those three buttons or put it on your mouse wheel and you hold down the button to build and you wiggle your mouse around, you end up with ramps that have walls to stop bullets. And then you walk up the ramp and press the button while pressing those three buttons, and it will just create a continual ramp that's reinforcing itself as you walk forward. I watched enough Fortnite videos to do that. Otherwise, I would uninstall the game and never play it again. But my friends insist I play it. So I learned how to build walls that one way. Otherwise, I get completely thrashed, and it's a bad time.
You know, all I do is flank, or do
all you do is
shots.
Flank on an open fucking field, and I say, "Who the fuck do you think you are, approaching in an open field?" And I dress you down every time you do it.
We've had a few fun matches where three people were all piling on one character. I just wanted a wide fucking shot, and. We've had good moments, but when that method fucking eat shit. I don't really, I'm not really close enough to everyone in the immediate area to get too mad about it, because we all just like get gunned down at once. It's all like mafioso style executions. It's intense. You could just grab someone from the by the shoulders now in Fortnite. After you down them, you just like shake them, and then like you can fucking interrogate them for the information, the location of their teammates. You then have them lit up on the screen, and then what you can also do is pick up the enemy and throw them off of a 5-story building until they die.
One of our main specials is Michelle. Is someone goes down, you pick them up, you yell at the kid, "Where's your fucking money? Tell me where your friends are." And then either you throw, and then when they get thrown down, the other person immediately puts a shotgun in their mouth and fires it. That's one way they go.
We shoot them out of the air. It's the other one up.
Is we all get together and we grab someone and we'd like throw them off a staircase or into an alley and we just firing squad them in the street so their friends could watch them die. This is where Fortnite shines. Is Deadpool, Rick Sanchez, Morty, and the Predator.
Pikachu is in the car, and then we all start shooting the guy we yeeted off of the building, and then Pikachu runs over.
Kyle, no!
Oh, God, yeah. Just... I think another fun one is to, like, there's always, like, a shark near beaches and in some lakes. So you just, like, throw the downed guy at the shark, and the shark just starts fucking overwhelming them, and this uncomfortable music starts playing. If I were a child, that would scare the shit out of me. So, yeah.
Fortnite builds real Fortnite. Skill.
Fortnite is, like, teaching lessons. Like,
you can see what I mean when I'm talking about just sitting in a room together, in a chat together, and Michelle going, "Oh... The predator just did a fucking, I don't even remember, the predator's flossing on me."
Yeah, after no, the he predator shot me in the head
with a 50 caliber sniper rifle.
Yeah, it's like the predator from the film Predator.
There was a bad week.
Flossing.
There was a bad week where Travis Scott and Kratos was the fucking tip of the town, and every time you saw one of them, it was an absolute fucking murderer on the other side coming after you. There was no beating any Travis Scott's or Kratos's.
Travis Scott is building around me, and I can't get away.
There's nowhere to hide. He's coming through the fucking ceiling. He's coming down on you with a shotgun.
A meme for the longest time was the John Wick skin. Like, if you just see a John Wick skin in the wild, just leave him alone.
Just walk away.
just walk
Thank
away.
You. Thank you, yeah. Bow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vic. Yeah, no.
You have a good one.
You have a good one. Just, you know, enjoy whatever you're doing, buddy.
You and honestly,
that's kind of... whenever I do that mumbling, just to tie this all together, whenever I do that mumbling, I'm usually playing solo in Fortnite. It's miserable. I really enjoy group play of a lot of these games. I'm trying to get closer to doing that. Because right now, God... I think I only played as much Fortnite as I have because it's not a big AAA game you have to make a million purchases for. It's just like a bunch of optional ones.
It's easy
to play.
And so, like, yeah, by laws of averages, I know what I like to get out of it. And, like, I've only just now got to a point where I can have a good, consistent creative output now. I've been working 4 jobs in addition to podcast stuff and various other things. Like, right now, I think I've only spent as much time as I did because it was like pick up, do that, take a nap, fucking forget about it. It's easy to rack up hours and play and do group play and squad stuff and... Like, that's the other thing. The player base being as consistent as it is makes the choice easier sometimes. That said, it's not the game chat gravitates towards. They love Apex. They love speed, immediacy, meteor characters, crazier antics high-level play. Fortnite is one type of high-level play, and that's it. And, I mean...
Right.
For some people, it's, that's
the
enough.
Building in Fortnite is like, it's like you either learn it or you don't.
But to kind of come full circle, one thing I've stopped playing was, yeah, Fortnite. Maybe I could get them to do the event stuff with me, but they've all went back to playing, I shit you not, PUBG. The original.
That's just because of
morbid curiosity and the fact that I never got to play it originally, yeah. It's only been the last few weeks, though.
It's just been them lighting one another up, talking in hushed tones like it's fucking the NOM.
It is. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, yeah. Shroud, I got into watching Shroud, watching his PUBG videos.
Yeah.
Like he's very entertaining doing distance shots in that game.
He's a pretty entertaining guy. But yeah. I don't watch too many streamers, but...
I mean... Before the music rules changed on Twitch, just absolutely fucking atrocious choice in music. He listens to the full Disturbed catalog.
Every Twitch streamer that I've ever witnessed has terrible choices in music.
Holy fucking
shit. Be they electro swing or Disturbed metal or white boy rappers or anything, really.
Yeah.
It's just never good. It's never good music.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, people like their comfort foods or whatever. I think what is interesting to me about Fortnite, just to wrap this up, is just that, yeah, it's eroding a lot of lines. Even the MLK thing. In the next 5 years, maybe the Auschwitz thing I mentioned will not be that far away as a tangible thing that could happen. And I feel a mild sense of terror.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful what you put out into the world, Michelle.
This mild sense of terror I have with that thought is also sort of feeling sort of ego death recently where, well, that's happening every day. So, like, of course, in 5 years, that is... not only possible, it's inevitable. And that is like what I like about Fortnite, the concept versus the sort of brick and mortar game itself. It's this impermanent but also in discrete ways permanent cultural fixture. Just imagine if, like, something like The Simpsons, a massive cultural institution like that, were set up like almost sort of in a franchisee layout to the nth degree that Fortnite is. It's a fucking weird and disturbing world that would be, but, like, it's what's coming. Folks, I'm very excited for it. Like,
we just want you to be prepared for the beautiful new world, everybody.
Yeah, that's it. I'd say have fun playing Fortnite.
You're fucking huffing on that pen too hard. God fucking damn it! It's not a fucking choo-choo train. You just breathe in.
It is a choo-choo train.
God damn, you're fucking turning it into a whistle.
There's only one destination.
Oh my god.
That destination is. I'm Michelle Perez. As always, I'm joined by my buddies Jake, my buddy Ruben, my spectral buddy Eliza Gager, and we have been working on it. Take it easy, and
thanks, everybody. In the words of Jeff Davis, drive fast and take chances.
You're not Jeff Davis.
Yeah, that's why I said in the words of, bitch. Oh.